This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,465. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, 3 Chad Smith, and Mike Hawk. The Men's Room. Our chat today, Ryan Castle joins us from his basement studio dungeon type bar, and once again we will sit and spin now. Today, 10 classic rock songs you can recognize from the first few notes. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, the Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV Time with Ted.
Click clack.
Click at the draw.
All right, here we go. Man who has fathered 78 children and has 13 women currently pregnant has been dubbed the Spuminator.
I'll be back.
When it comes to men with huge packages, men with big noses are seemingly greater.
Mine's real wide.
Florida woman upset about the thickness of tomato slice goes off in a Burger King. Man steals garbage truck and smashes it into an airport, but his mugshot is the real thing. And a Florida teen is charged as an adult after rigging the homecoming election, because that was that important. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, a diver in Venice, California, found the tooth of a megalodon on a dive. A megalodon, incidentally, it actually means big tooth. And the tooth he found was 6 inches long. And the last of the megalodons, just so you know, died about 3 million years ago, which makes the tooth a really cool find. A maintenance worker in San Bernardino, not so lucky. Instead of finding something cool, like, I don't know, a prehistoric tooth, he found a severed human foot and a highway median. Meanwhile, an anthropology professor, apparently he and his students pretty sure they found the wreckage of the USS Chattanooga. That's a Civil War ship that brought supplies and food to Union soldiers back in 1863. See, that pretty cool thing to find. Then there's a woman who found a secret room in her house. Now, it sounds cool, but she was freaked out because the secret room was filled with baby dolls. And it was just creepy because somehow baby dolls make everything creepier. So it seems like finding stuff in water might be better than finding stuff on dry land. You know, megalodon teeth, Civil War ship wreckage. Then earlier this week, divers in Florida, they discovered a woolly mammoth bone. They estimated it's about 100,000 years old. Again, cool stuff. And again, a not-so-cool find, a guy in South Carolina. He jumped into the woods on the side of the road to relieve himself. Yeah, he found a dead body. But see, that's the thing about finding something that you weren't looking for. You don't know if it's going to be good or bad. You just have the circumstance that you found it. So megalodon tooth, severed human foot. Who knew? But that's what today's question is, because we've all lost things. We've all found things. So today we want to know, good or bad, what did you find or lose?
Be a part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Oh, Michelle's here. Away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3465. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Ryan Castle. Ryan Castle today, kind of a music quiz. If you are a rock fan, you've been listening to 50 years of KISW. Today we have 10 classic rock songs you should be able to recognize from the first few notes. And from what we understand, Ron Mike Hawk has taken these songs and only given us the first couple of notes.
All right. Okay.
So we're going to play that tune and try to figure out what the hell it is.
Classic rock.
These are classic rock songs, but they should be easy. Because the idea is, these are the most identifiable songs based on the first few notes.
And we're old.
And you've
heard those
songs.
Two things together, and bam!
Yeah. What counts as a few notes?
Oh, it depends on what Mike decided to put
three
in there.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Depends what on was, the song. Name that tune. They gave you, what, six at most, I believe?
Well, I believe.
Because you would say I can name it in blank notes, but if I remember right, they would only go, it was fine, Mike. It was eight notes.
But then the contestant, wasn't he able to determine
they
the
would
number
guess.
Of notes that they needed to be able to get that
song,
because
I think it was like a category. So like, you know, a song from, I don't know, whatever, classic rock, and you say, I can get this in four notes.
I think they gave some sort of a clue as to what it might be as far as the general...
I see, the genre of it, who might be the singer, how many hits they've had, et cetera,
how do you
et cetera,
think you would do with that show now? I feel like your best bet is to be about 24 years old, generally speaking.
I would say so.
Right?
Because you got to remember there's going to be a couple notes of a Drake song or popular music.
And that's what I'm
out. If you're not, you know, really in tune with what's going on, you're not going to be able to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
And I realize with what my kids listen to, which they insist is popular, I'm like, I have no idea who these people are.
At this
are.
Point, Lizzo's like 5 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you got to remember how fast this stuff goes by. I mean, it's serious. I'm like, I'm at the gym, and I'm like, I have no idea what the hell this is. You know what I mean? But I know the old songs. Come on. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Lizzo.
Yeah, my kids are constantly, turn this up. I'm like, I don't know what this is.
I don't know either. But we're going to do a little kind of name that tune, musical style, 10 classic rock songs that you can recognize from the first few notes. And today we're going to talk about things you've lost and things you found. Now, when you find something, it's not necessarily like some crazy thing. If you're not looking for something and you end up getting something, you will tell someone like, I found this really cool shirt.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you're out looking for this shirt. It's not like it was the, but all of a sudden you saw this thing and you're like, man, I gotta have it. Now we have tons of stories over the last 4 months of people that have even been gardening in their backyard or they're at a Goodwill and they end up taking like a live grenade home. You know, they find.
Yeah, there was a garage sale.
Right. They find one in the basement.
But the thing is, the guy was selling grenades. He had multiples. Most of them had been decommissioned or whatever.
Right.
It's just this particular one that a kid bought for like 50 cents or something. Like, oh, crap, that one's still active.
If you find something, you're like, oh, my God, I've got to have this, whatever it is. We had the story yesterday about the woman who lost $130 because she opened up a box with a helium balloon in it, and the envelope that had the money from her mother floated away, and you know what? No one has found it yet that they have claimed anyway. But either way, it was just one of those situations that happened.
That's on her.
It is on her. Yeah,
I reviewed the video a couple times last night. She had plenty of times to grab that.
Now, again, Ted, come on. Mm-hmm. Let's just, I know what you're saying there. I'm just saying it's a helium balloon. It starts going up. Let's take the physical attributes. Like, at some point, there's zero chance she's getting it.
Now, the other day, we were talking just out of the blue about, for whatever reason, furniture. Because, Steve is big into furniture these days.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying about the time that you were at Goodwill.
Yeah.
And this is a few years back. I think you said you were buying your kids back to school clothes because you don't want to spend any money on them.
Yeah. Because kids gently used underwear.
Kids these days, they don't want to be stylish or wear what's in. So, anyway, there was a guy you said, and he had a chair.
Chair, but he came up to me because all these people kept bugging him, right? And he just had this chair kind of sitting in the shopping cart. So he walks down the aisle and says, hey, man, let me ask you something. I'm like, what's up? And he kind of points at this chair. I'm like, wow, man. And he goes, a bunch of people have come up and said, because the chair was on sale anywhere from like $50 to $100, right? So for Goodwill, this is pricey. But people that knew what they were looking at were like, hey, man, we'll give you, you know, a lot of cash for this. So let me buy it from you, blah, blah, blah. So finally he asked, and I said, look, man. Sergeant Hair Club, our boss, he is into this thing called Eames chair. And it says, I don't know,
design. It's Art Deco 50s, 60s
like 50s
style.
50s or 60s.
Metal chair, but it has leather in it, and it's got a, yeah, it doesn't have like a, what the hell you call that, where you put your
ottoman?
Ottoman with it, yeah.
But for whatever, this guy, I guess, established what a comfortable chair, whatever the hell it goes. But I said, look, it's an Eames chair. Not really familiar with it. The guy wasn't too familiar. And I said, all I know about Eames is that it's a big effing deal, and that chair, buy it for the $100 of the charging, because when you look this thing up and you get home, it's going to be about $4,000. He's like, are you kidding? I said, no. Buy this.
That's just a Goodwill.
This is because, you know, a Goodwill, what happens a lot, grandma dies, no one feels like dealing with the estate, they get rid of crap. We had a guy recently approach my wife, because she reupholsters stuff, and he's cleaning out an attic, and just said, I found this chair, looks pretty cool, do you want it? She said, absolutely. I will not say how much we found out it was worth, but she contacted another person who does something similar, and this woman was like, do you want to sell it? We're like, no, we don't. We got this thing for free, and it is an extraordinarily expensive chair.
Do you think it's as valuable as the chairs I found on the sidewalk in Fremont?
Those actually aren't bad, man. Those leather ones?
Yeah.
They're really not. But people don't know what they've got, so it's like, hell, we'll take it. You redo it, and I got a nice-ass piece of furniture.
In Fremont, you don't take stuff with you when you move? You don't throw it away?
Right.
You just put it in front of your home, you see. And then it sits out there and gets rained on for 2 or 3 weeks, and then people eventually come and pick it up.
Yeah, well, after it gets ruined.
We do the same thing up on the hill.
I found these two chairs. Typically, it's a Casper mattress, but I found these two chairs, and I'm like, so I called Steven. I'm like, hey, man, your wife might want these because they're really cool chairs.
They are.
They're
very cool.
And they just need to be reupholstered. So, of course, I just went and rolled them up the street and put them in my garage for a couple days until they could pick them up. But, So we'll start here in Sarasota, Florida. Finding shark teeth is a part of the culture in Venice Beach. Sometimes people trudge the beach. Others take boats and go diving. And David Ousley is part of the second group. And during a dive last week, he found a 6-inch tooth that he says belongs to a megalodon. When I pulled it out of the sand, it was so big, it took a while for me to process it. I thought it was fake. I thought it was a plant. His captain of the boat said it started like any other normal dive. He's been diving with his charter for over half a decade, but on that day, they stumbled upon one of the largest finds he's seen in years. I have 6,000 dives doing this for the last 10 years, and I've gotten three over 6 inches. He thought the large tooth was maybe a whale bone, gave it a tug while underwater, which the tooth probably liked, and it was perfectly intact, extremely large, and popped right out of the sand. He says he plans to keep diving, but says he now has to up his standards for himself. If you've seen the picture of this tooth, you cannot believe that anything swam in the ocean that had a mouth that could possibly hold it, 5 of those teeth in it.
I'm convinced that the megalodon is why other creatures started going to land. You know, they're like, it's tide pools. Yeah. I'm like, no, some other fish opened the tides and said, I'm not living in the same space as this goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm. Now we stay in Florida. This story just popped up yesterday in the news. Two Florida scuba divers again uncovered a mammoth bone. Bless you. Possibly dating back to the Ice Age while diving in a local river. They're not sure if this thing...
Well, of course it dates. If it's a mammoth bone.
Yeah. It was a 4-foot, 50-pound bone. They found it in the Peace River. It's a, quote, amazing discovery. Henry's my dive buddy. He yelled out to me. He said, hey, Derek.
Hey, Derek.
I found something. Oh, my goodness. It was really, really cool. Would you ever go diving in a river in Florida?
No, I would not.
I would not, but I'm scared of snakes.
Okay, well, I'm scared of alligators. So, to me, that combination is just is not a good one.
I don't know why the gators don't bug me as much.
They don't bug
because
me.
Because they don't skeeve you out. You know, like, look, spiders bug me. I'm not convinced they're going to kill me. Snakes, you're not convinced they're going to kill you. They just skeeve you. But an alligator, like, you can wrap your head around it. Like, you're a dinosaur. You want to eat me. It's just, it's understood. Right. It's easy.
Ted, I got bit by a spider a month ago.
So all right.
I swatted that bad boy off. I still, like, finally, the swelling is finally starting to go down. It's been a month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell that thing was, man. But it took a chunk out of me. Anyway,
for no reason.
Yeah, the pair believe the bone belonged to a Colombian mammoth.
Colombia.
Which wandered to Florida.
Yes.
Between 2.6 million
my and... trunk is full of cocaine, man.
10,000 years ago.
Ooh!
Yeah, I left because of the hippos.
Right.
So they think this thing's about 1.5 million years old, somewhere in the middle. Paleontologists began to dug up a number of other bones on the same day. They discovered parts of an extinct shark and the tooth of a saber-toothed tiger, all in the same river. Sadler had previously found mammoth teeth in the same river. Thing about it, love it is, like astronomy, it's time traveling and plays with the imagination, so you go, wow, what was going on at this time? But that's pretty cool, too. One of the guys is a teacher who found the bones, so guess what they're going to do with it? They're just going to put it in the classroom where Sadler teaches.
Good.
See, I didn't know, you know, like, you find it. Who owns it? Do you give it to a museum? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. A lot of times I know museums will give you money for something you found, but a lot of times I know the Fed steps in. Like, if you find a bunch of gold in your basement or something, you know, suddenly the Fed's like, well, technically that's ours. I don't get how that works. Or if you find a fully intact skeleton, suddenly it is not yours. You find a tooth, you can keep it. You find a skeleton, somehow it belongs to somebody else.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know
I don't know what the rules are.
Right, but it seems like teeth you can keep.
But if you found maybe the entire jawbone, then all of a sudden other people get involved in your crap.
Yeah, if you find like a femur, it's like now you got to give it away.
Yeah, like typically
it's my femur.
Well, even on like I'm a sucker for Antiques Roadshow if it comes on PBS. I just am, and half the stuff in there has either been handed down through generations or somebody finds it at a flea market or a garage.
Apparently, sale. Those are the only two ways anyone gets any of that crap.
Exactly, but I'm always the arrowhead collection. Like some Native Americans will bring in just all these different arrowheads and all these things that they found. That makes sense. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That you would be able to possess that if you were Native American and tribal, but if not, you know what I mean? That's not your crap. So I can't figure out, like, who owns what in the world of finding stuff. Like,
if I find an arrowhead, I'm taking a leak on the side of the road in Oklahoma, but I'm not a reservation land, this is right? And I find it. Like, can I keep this?
I think so.
Does it belong to somebody else?
I think so. As long as it's... I'm not sure. I guess if it has any significance historically, they might come and try to buy it from you or whatever.
If you want to buy it, that makes sense. Again, if we find a full, not intact mammoth, but you find a skeleton of a mammoth, right? We find it, I don't know, we co-own this house. We find it on our property. Like, if we tell people we found it, I know people are going to show up, but like, do we get to keep this or can I sell it?
I mean, I think it also depends on who you tell.
Well, once it is,
okay.
It's like, right, like where I grew up, obviously, originally had a massive Native American population.
Sure.
So all the streets are named after tribes.
Right.
Like, I grew up on Kennesaw Street.
So there was a park we used to play in. I remember somebody found a stone arrowhead there. We kept it. And then years later, they had to close the park and everything.
Because people kept finding stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then farther down in the park, they found graves and everything. So they were like, oh my goodness. Like they had built a whole park over this stuff.
Jeez. Well, the only thing that we were taught growing up was all the Mohegan burial sites, leave them alone.
Right.
And they're always individual. They weren't like in an area. It's just
I think anyone's burial site.
It's about a 7-foot rock pile. And it's very distinct, and you can see it, but you just can't mess with them. You shouldn't get near them and any of that. Now we go to South Carolina. Authorities say,
Thrill, you are right, but for some reason, like, I know people, like, back in the day that would hang out in a cemetery, but they wouldn't mess with the native ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you shouldn't mess with anybody.
You shouldn't mess with anybody. But here's the difference. Like, two groups of people that I feel like they have figured out a way to get you to stop messing with stuff. Natives and people that are into voodoo, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And somehow, so people will topple graves and do all this crap or spray paint a swastika or a penis and all this, but rarely do they target the ones where somehow you're just freaked out. Because even when you're a kid, and as an adult, you can rationalize that this is very stupid, but it's just ingrained in you, right? So a grave's a grave. Maybe there's a ghost, maybe whatever. If it's a native one, they're like, man, if you touch that, the entire tribe goes, you know, it's like, it's the same thing with voodoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just a religion. But like I said, with the Catholic religion, it's like, oh, come into our church, we'll help you find Jesus. Then voodoo's like, you do not play with the voodoo. Like, you're freaked out from the jump,
and then you
man.
Get cussed out in French from some Haitian woman, you know, on Bourbon Street. Like,
yeah, get out of here. God
I'm
damn.
Leaving.
Do you recruit in the voodoo? Because you need better PR, man.
No, thank you.
You want to do the black magic. Like, no, dog, I don't.
No.
Did that happen to you?
Oh, no, I mean, just from a streetwalker
so, yes.
yelling at everybody. Not me. You know what I mean? Like yelling at everybody. Like,
I was just picturing you two walking to
a
shop.
Cursed.
And she's just like, get out.
I went to a voodoo shop once because I was in New Orleans. And, you know, it was on, not Bourbon, but one of the streets in the French Quarter. So, you know, like they want you to walk in. I mean, you step in. And most places that are tourist friendly, friendly is part of the key. So even if it's a phony, oh, hi, welcome to New Orleans. You walk into this joint, like, you're just being stared down at everything you look at. And I'm freaked the hell out. And it's like this old lady behind the counter. I'm like, she's going to, like, shape-shift into a goat and kill me, which is ridiculous. But if anyone can do it, that woman, the cashier, can do this.
How does she have a doll that already looks like me with the exact clothes that I'm wearing right now?
We knew you were coming.
Exactly.
Like, I'm out of here, man.
2 weeks.
Miles, relax. It's a bobblehead.
Okay. Authorities say a forensic anthropologist is studying human remains found in the woods off a dirt road by a man who was taking a bathroom break in the woods a few weeks ago. Deputy Coroner Sean Fogle says his office was called to help identify a body that was found in the woods. The remains were found by a man. He's driving down a dirt road on his lunch break, and he has to take a pee. So he stops in the woods to go to the bathroom. Next thing you know, he sees a body below him. The man says he went back to the site where he was working with his brother. They called police where they found the body. So our question, if it's good, it's bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, David.
He's getting there. David?
Hello?
Hello. Hola.
Hello.
Oh, you guys said David. This is Steven.
Oh, hello, Steven. Welcome to the men's room.
That explains it.
I just like to throw out names until someone responds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually you would have got it.
Okay. So what'd you find or lose?
So about 10 years ago, I was working at a sewer plant, and we have this thing called a grease receptacle. It's like it filters out everything that can't be going to the sewer plant.
It's also the nickname of a chick I knew in high school.
The grease receptacle.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hope I get that duty one day. I'm on grease receptacle today.
I'm moving up.
Sweet. I'm at the sewer plant.
Yeah, but anyway, so it'd go into a garbage can, you know, and then they would come and pick it up. One day I forgot to put the garbage can back underneath there. So the next day I show up, and there's this big old pile on the ground. I shovel it into the garbage can. And as I'm shoveling it, all of a sudden I go, that looks like a $20 bill. So I kind of dig it out with the shovel. I go, it is a $20 bill. And I'm digging through it. Then I find a 50, some more 20s, another 100. And eventually I ended up coming up with like 220, 230 bucks in various bills that I found.
Now, is this stuff soiled and stuff?
Oh, yeah, it was nasty. I gloved up and went and washed it off as good as I could, and then went down the road to the casino and cashed it in.
I was going to say, what do you feel confident taking that to? Like, when they look at the bill, like, what happened to this?
That's where the sewer plant was, right down the road from the casino. Side.
Did you put it in a slot machine like you would if you were buying a lottery ticket out of a machine? You know what I'm saying? Like they have the slots for money. Is that where you just stuck the money in?
No, I went just balls out and brought it right up to the cashier.
Okay, all right. See, I would try to be sneaky about it. Like, I hope this machine takes this poop.
Yeah, I would just feel uncomfortable.
Bill. You know what I mean? I don't want to really hand it to somebody who's going to actually use their hand to touch it.
I mean, I kind of would because it's funny, but I've never found that kind of money before.
That's probably why I did it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Well, somebody was joking with us. I don't know if they were joking or not, but was it you, Steve, talking to somebody who said that when they were demolishing our old office floor.
Mm-hmm.
Over at the old building, that they found all kinds of crazy stuff. Was that guy joking?
I don't think he was, because we were talking about something else last week, and he texted in and just said, look, guys, before you get on anybody about crap that's left around, he said, we demoed your old studios, and we found some S. And I can guess what half of it is, you know what I mean? Not for me, but a former employee.
I know, but you got to wonder how old that stuff is. You know what I mean? Like, what's the shelf life of drugs? You know what I mean? Like, in certain
depends on the drug.
I think it's pretty good, man, because most of what I know was falling around there. A lot of it was pills, right? And no one knew what any of those pills were. He just did it by color. Take a yellow one and a blue one, see what happens. So probably pills, bags of cocaine. I mean, it was amazing. This guy, he stopped working with us. We kind of cleaned it out his office. So, like, we lifted up the computer, and under the keyboard, just drugs, man. Like, God damn, buddy.
Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Our question, good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
I underestimated when the song going to end and filled my mouth with the peanut butter M&M's.
Ooh, nice.
Delicious, but difficult
go
to
ahead,
talk.
Just take a second. Chew them out.
They're so good, man.
What if you start choking?
Well, you know CPR. I recovered this yesterday. Right?
Well, Heimlich I can do.
Oh, you can do the Heimlich?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You saved your
You've
mom
done it.
Twice,
I've done
right?
it, yeah.
Twice or once? With your mom.
Cinnamon knots once.
No, garlic
last
knots.
Last night was a garlic knot.
Garlic knots.
From the weirdest name place ever. Squisitos.
Yeah, welcome to Squisitos.
They're easy now.
Two shoots in your mouth.
See, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just too funny.
Squisitos.
I know, and it's a good Italian restaurant.
It better be.
I'm always like, you want to go to Squisitos? Easy to out chew. That's what I do with my mom. Chew your food.
I'm Lenny Squisito. Yes.
Come on down to Squisitos.
The only thing you trust me with is food.
We got the juiciest meatballs in town. With Squiz's secret.
The Squiz sauce.
It is solid. Squiz sauce.
Get some extra Squiz sauce on your juicy meatballs. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Dan.
Oh, hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good.
All right.
So this isn't anything that I found. This is what my ex-girlfriend's grandparents found. So he was like a really high-up executive in Boeing, and when he started making a lot of money, he bought this gigantic plot of land in Enumclaw, like 60, 70 acres. And he built houses for himself and his wife and, like, his kids on this plot of land. But when they started breaking land for the house, they started digging up, like, a bunch of bones.
Like and human bones?
At first, they didn't really... What?
Human bones?
Yeah, yeah. I'll get to that. So they started digging up, like, a bunch of bones. And I guess they didn't really think too much of it at first. But, like, they were constantly digging up, you know, human remains. So they had to get in contact with the city, obviously. And so the city came in and, like, took all that stuff. And so what made me think about this story was that Ted said something like, oh, if you find a femur, you can keep it or whatever. But, like, they literally had, like, the government come in and take, like, all these remains and stuff like that. And come to find out, the plot of land that they bought in Enumclaw was actually, like, this really, like, popular trading post area, like, in the 1800s. And so people would come from all around and, like, trade and camp and stuff and get sick and die. So they would just bury them all over this plot of land. So, and that was what they bought. And they were just digging up all these dead bodies.
Mm, yeah, so, I guess, I mean.
Maybe move the house.
So what Ted said, I think if you find a human femur.
Thank you.
You should go ahead and give that bad boy away.
Right. I was talking about like a dinosaur leg. It's like not a human.
No, these are my corpses.
It's like all the legs used to wash up in British Columbia on the shores.
I'm keeping this. I found it in this ship.
Yeah, they dug up like so many, like a whole bunch of like remains and stuff like that. And like I said, they had to give them back, obviously. Like, I wouldn't want to keep them.
No.
But that house is straight up haunted. Like, I've been there. Like, my ex-girlfriend lived there. We hung out there for, like, a year. Like, there is some crazy ass that goes on in that place. And at her dad's place, and they built a house for, like, all the kids, and they're all just, it's a creepy-ass piece of property.
Sounds like
I think that's fair, man. You know,
yeah.
Ryan Castle was redoing his backyard, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, whatever. But he calls me, he says, look, man, I'm putting out, like, this little stone patio. Can you just help me dig out the first part? I said, sure. So we go, we're just slugging beer, got music playing, and we're digging up. And he's like 10 feet behind me, and he just stops digging. And he's like, what the? Turn around, and he's holding like a piece of vertebrae in the palm of his hand that he dug up, right? And I'm like, what do you think that's from? He goes, I don't know, but, you know, maybe someone just like threw a piece of crab out in the yard, whatever, a piece of meat, you know what I mean? Dog ate it, buried it, who knows? We keep digging. We keep hitting bones. Like, there are bones all over his goddamn backyard.
So somebody had dogs.
We're not sure because, so what's weird about it is we kept finding bones, but all the bones had precise, clean cuts. So I was like, look, either maybe like a butcher lived here and gave his dogs the bones, a serial killer lived here and buried people, but all the bones have been meticulously cut. And we had this like pile of vertebrae and rib bones, man. It was a little strange, but now we're getting freaked out. So at one point, We're trying to get this tree root, right? And this thing's a real mother. We're both digging in there. And both of us scream and jump back. We thought we found the actual human skull. It was just a goddamn rock. But we were convinced. but at this point, we're convinced. But we found bones all over his yard, man. I'm telling you, there's something weird going on.
Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Don.
Don.
What is happening today?
I don't know. Is it us?
No, I'm trying.
Something crazy with the phones.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. I found a skim board at the beach on a pile of driftwood.
A skim board?
Skim.
Oh, skim. Skim board. Thank you. Yeah. Jesus.
Really do circumcisions.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is that?
You just lay it on there and snip. Well, I'm assuming someone lost that in a wave, right?
I assume we were washed up because it was on a pile of driftwood, and nobody was around for a good 100 yards in each direction that day, and it's just sitting there by itself. So I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, and checked out the price. It's worth $500.
Damn.
I'm like, wow, score. So, yeah, next time I'm not done on the beach, I don't know what I was going to do. So I went back to my truck and put my treasure that I found away. As I'm walking back, here comes this guy talking to other people. Hey, have you seen a skateboard around? And anybody carrying a skateboard? I'm like, oh, man. So, of course, I'm not dirty like that. So I was like, hey, man, I got your skateboard. I found it over here by itself. So we be by itself. You mean where I put it? And instantly starts getting the attitude.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude, I'm just letting you know that I could have kept this, but I heard you, and I say it's yours, so let's go to my truck and get it. All the way to the truck. You know, what, so I can just go grab your car because you left it in the parking lot? It's yours? I'm like, wow.
Dude, you put it in driftwood. That's like, hey, man, has anyone seen my hamburger? I left it in the trash can. I mean,
right.
Oh, well.
Exactly. Usually there's beach rules, you know, you put a towel down, you don't mess with people's stuff.
Right.
Anything. There's no towel, no nothing, no one around. Like I said, it's like, wow. But yeah, it was a nice find for it.
See, you wish you'd kept it now,
yeah,
don't
you? Too bad you came back. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Yeah, just the attitude and everything, yeah.
There was a story about a pro surfer probably 3 or 4 months ago, and he, I can't remember if it was New Zealand or where it was, but he loses a surfboard, and it's gone for 7-8 years.
All right.
And then it washes up on a beach somewhere, and someone finds it, and they recognize the fact that whoever made this board, it's a custom maker out of this one town. It's an expensive board. It's pro-level crap, you know right. what I mean? And it was very distinct. So they ended up finding the pro surfer that had that. And once he realized that it was his board, he's like, dude, that's a great board. You keep it.
I remember you telling me.
Like, it had barnacles all over and all that crap, of course, and everything else, but they cleaned it all up, and it was just
I guess these are two different guys.
Yeah.
Well, a pro surfer gets stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm sure technology has changed in the last 10 years to some degree. Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
Couple of quick comments here. It says, what did I lose? Heading to Oregon for our honeymoon. We stopped at a Pandora outlet. Fast forward. My wife took her Pandora charm bracelet off for some reason, and she put it inside of a paper napkin. Being unaware of her doing this, at the next stop, I emptied the garbage. I inadvertently threw away the freshly purchased $800 charm bracelet.
Ooh.
And then this one sounds about right. A hotel remodel in Vegas. Under bed, we found 38 different porn magazines. Another two had cameras, Vaseline, and a giant black dildo. Sounds like Vegas.
Good times. Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, Don.
All right, we're done with Don. I can't do it anymore.
This could be all day.
All day.
All day.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hello, boy, Sean.
All right.
Hey, I grew up in Alabama and I worked at a construction company. We're remodeling this old courthouse. It was from like the 1800s, Bibb County. And we got into the basement. It had been flooded. We had to dig out all the sand and the silt and everything. And we found a vault down there. And it had like Tommy guns and
Jesus.
All kinds of crazy stuff in it. It was cool. They had to bring in the FBI and all that stuff to check it out.
You think it was an old mobster's place or something?
It was in the vault in the courthouse.
Oh, it was in the courthouse.
Right,
evidence.
All right.
Okay. That's pretty crazy.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, could you identify anything by date? Were there, like, documents in there that had any kind of, date on them? Right.
When we found it, we got it opened up, and they seen what was in there. They kicked all the workers out. It was just, they had a guard there, you know, from the sheriff's department.
Huh.
And they brought it. We didn't get to be involved with the rest of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you just do the finding. You don't get to have fun.
All right.
That sucks,
right?
Man.
That's what I'm saying. When people come in, like, you found it, I keep it.
Well, let me ask you this, all right? So you open a vault, and there's guns in there, and I get it. You contact the authorities, because it is at a courthouse, etc. If you guys had found just stacks of cash, you know, it's $5 million in this vault, evidence, who the hell knows
what we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's what I was going to say. Is there any chance you say anything to the authorities?
No.
Yeah, okay, no. My man.
I think if I ever get one of those safes like a Costco, you've seen they sell pretty decent safes.
Yeah.
That's the only place I've ever seen them was Costco. Maybe they have them at like a Walmart or a Fred Meyer, but not as big as one at Costco.
Yeah.
I think I would just load it with like 10 cinder blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd hide all my stuff somewhere else.
I knew a guy that did that. He had a bolted in safe, and you couldn't get into the safe for your life. I'm sure somebody out there could, but he pointed out to me. He has since moved, but he pointed out because I was like, what do you have in there? Like, nothing, man. But he said, look, if someone breaks into my house, this looks like the thing you want to get. He's like, I have nothing of value in there. Right. It's hidden everywhere.
It'd just be a decoy for me.
So then I robbed him blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have a safe, but just got like passport, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what you don't want someone to steal.
Correct.
It's such
but
an
I'm just saying, like, if you're a robber and you break in and it's like, oh, we could take this safe with us because you can pick it up. It's light.
Yeah.
You know, it's be like, that. I got this dude's passport.
But see, that's what's disappointing. Like, you got the safe. Like, man, it's a goddamn passport. There's no money. There's no drugs. There's no weapons. There's no jewelry. It's his freaking picture.
Last time I got out of the country,
this guy. He was supposed to go to Portugal and Ireland last year.
I did that deal.
This guy's screwed.
I need my passport 2 weeks before. I know I'm driving up to Banff and all that.
Yeah.
I can't find my passport. because I put my passport where I would never forget my passport.
Which means you will ultimately forget.
I put
forget.
It in a place. It was just like, I will always remember that I put this passport here. And I'm freaking out because I couldn't find where the hell I put it. I finally found the thing like the day before. And I was like, I do remember putting it there, but that was a really weird place.
Yeah,
I
got to go through the fact.
Got to go through every drawer. I went through all this crap. I'm like, yeah, it's a good, safe place to put this.
I'll never forget
yeah,
this.
Yeah, got to put it in a spot you won't forget.
And then I forgot. Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421 Rock. Hello, Corey. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. How y'all doing?
Hola. Hey, Corey. Thank you, brother.
All right. So while I was in the service, I was an armored crew member. And during 2017 to 2018, we were doing NATO training, whatever, with the Polish. And so my platoon of tanks, we got selected to go to Lithuania to try out their tank corps with other NATO force companies. And we did our training after about 2 weeks. On our way back, we were on coming back through the rails, and we had to pick up our tanks from the rail yard and take it back to our little base, Trzebin in Poland. And so when we pick up the Abrams tank, we have to tow with another Abrams tank. And you got a tow bar that goes between both tanks. So it's late at night. Me and my buddy Mike, he was the tank commander. I was the driver. We load up this tank. We start pulling it through the wadis, basically these giant dunes from the rail yard to the tank line. And we lost the tank we were towing for about an hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What, the bar came undone on the back?
Yeah. So what happened was is that you have to go through the wadis, and they're about 10 to 15 deep. Wadis, and you have to do it just right when you're towing another Abrams, and I didn't because I was still an inexperienced driver, so we heard a pop pop, and so I thought I was popping track, but we lost the tank right from the start. But my buddy Mike, I think he was in the turret, he wasn't over the hatch, so he must have fell asleep or something, and then until we were about ready to pull in the tank line.
So did you have to notice? Did you go back and find it?
Yes, okay. We had to go back and find it. And when we reversed, we had the little part left on our, the tow bar was still stuck, and we actually stuck in the ground so deep, it looked like it was just stuck. Okay. And then we had to get it out between, like, six of us.
Well, let me ask.
Did you share this with anyone when you finally show up?
Yeah, yeah. It was the talk of the camp. Everyone's making fun of us. Yeah.
Okay, I got a question for you. Let's just say that I'm stumbling through Lithuania, wherever in the hell you are, right? And I need a ride. And there is an Abrams tank that's sitting in the middle of the road, all right? Now, is it possible for a guy with just a regular driver's license, could I get in that thing and look at it and figure out, A, how to start it up, B, how to put it in drive, and C, how to move it down the road?
Yeah.
I could. Is it a key?
Yeah.
Is it a key
they make it
I mean, do I put a key in like I would my my car?
No, it doesn't take a key or anything. It's they make it dumb enough for 18-year-old kids from high school to be able to run this $6 million machine.
Okay, so do you just hit a start button?
Yeah.
All right. Is it an automatic or a stick shift?
Automatic.
Completely automatic.
Does it have a wheel, or is it like pulling levers?
It's like a bicycle, like you have handlebars.
Huh.
All right.
And how do you see? Is there a slit where you can see out, or are you looking at a screen? What are you doing?
So at nighttime, you look at a screen. I can't remember the name right now. And during the daytime, you get, I can't think of the dang name. It's like a little reflector mirror. So you have three mirrors.
So it's
and then you just have to look.
Like a periscope?
That's it, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I used to have one as a kid. That's why I know that.
Oh, I was one of one as a kid. Never had one.
Yeah, I had like.
Did you ever get one of the cheap ones at a parade?
No, I never got one of the cheap ones. But I remember the candy with the Boy Scouts that came in and made one out of one of those long ass Christmas paper roll things, and it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
I just remember once at a parade, I finally convinced my mom to buy me one.
Right,
like the cheap little paper one.
Yeah,
and it was amazing. And then I think for some reason we decided to stand with our back to the parade and look
and
at
and watch it that because that's what kids do.
Do you know why my buddy did that? He did it as a project for science fair, right?
Sure.
Because of submarines, sure.
All right.
Okay, right.
But that's not what he used it for,
No, because his neighbors just put in a pool. Mm-hmm. And he had a crush on that girl for the time that I knew him.
So was he hiding on the fence? And
he wanted the pair. I don't know if he ever used it, but he wanted
you
to.
You know he
did. Of course he did.
He made it. It's not like he bought it.
Be able to look
he
over
made
the fence.
It. He made it. It was really, really cool. He made it out of
He really wanted to see that neighbor.
Like a big PVC pipe.
So he could spy on the hot neighbor.
Yes.
in the pool.
Right, exactly. Like, he basically just took, you know, like, plumber stuff, glued everything together, and he had the mirrors in there and everything else, and that was what his deal was.
Well, I guess me and the kid will have to sit down soon. Today we're going to make a pair of
knock on the door and see if you can come over and swim. You've been neighbors. You know each other. He's like, it's not that I won't get invited over. I just won't get invited over when, like, all the girls are there and all the things are going on.
Yeah, because you're a creepy teen boy with a periscope spying on him. That's why you're not invited.
Right, and like, right, she's not going to invite him over when she's having, like, her friends
exactly.
over.
Exactly. She's like, there's four friends
and
over there.
I can guarantee you he wanted to look at her more than he wanted to swim.
Right. He did not want to talk, and he wanted to be able to, where his eyes were, I'm sure, is not where she'd want them to be.
But that was a cool thing as a kid, man, the old periscope.
It's real cool. And then you do things that annoy your parents, like hide on the other side of the dining room table and spy on them.
Right. Mike, you okay today, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting there.
All right, okay. Make it short. Let's take a break then.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Yeah.
You can see if the colors are still there. And
all the things.
Good or bad, what did you find or lose? 206-421-ROCK.